I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me now here this morning, Psalm 119, verse number 164. We're now in the third and final part of this three-part series of messages. There's actually four verses in Psalm 119 that we are focusing upon. Verse number 164 is the one with which we begin, because from it comes the title of the message. But all four of these verses communicate to us, in fact, where the psalmist talked about praising the Lord. And in particular, as we look at what the psalmist praised the Lord for, and that's kind of what we're focused on now in the last message and now in this message as well, we notice that he praises the Lord for his relationship to the Word of God. There are many, many things for which we can praise the Lord. Amen? We can praise the Lord for all of the wonderful characteristics of our God, His goodness, His greatness, His gloriousness, His graciousness to us, all of that. We can also praise the Lord for all of the wonderful things that He does for us. The way He provides for us, the way He protects us, the way that He directs us, the way that He gives us wisdom, the way that He, all of the things that God does, delivers us from evil, forgives us of sin, all that He does for us. But one of the great things that God has done for us is give us the Word of God. Amen? Many times, in so many situations of my life, I've made decisions about many, many things. How many of you have ever made decisions before? Three of you. The rest of you, you don't make decisions. You let somebody else make them for you. Which, by the way, is a decision. To let somebody else make them for you. But the fact is that we all make decisions. We all make decisions day by day. We make them week by week. If you've lived longer than a few, well, for that matter, you might say, okay, not until you're a few years old you make decisions. Well, we just celebrated one of our young ones' first birthday, right? And his birthday is today. I bet you he's made decisions. Sure he has. There's times he made the decision to say, I want that toy and I'm going to get it right now, even though mom said no. There's times I've seen him make decisions. I've watched him calculate. Right across his forehead it is written, I dropped that, what do you call that thing? That plug, whatever you want to call it, right? What was that pacifier? That's the technical name. I wanted to know your pet name for it, like the plug, the chew toy, whatever, you know. But the pacifier, you know, he drops it and we go running for it, pick it up and hand it to him. And I've watched it right through his eyes. Have you seen this? Right there, right in his eyes, he calculates, that was fun, I'm going to do that one again. And he throws it on the floor again. And he watches you scramble, blah, 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 blah. You pick the thing up, you even put it in your mouth to clean it off, right? Now all the dirt's in your mouth, and then you give it back, whatever you do, right, to clean it off, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you wipe it off, you give it to him, and he goes, well, that was fun the second time too. You know, he's making decisions. Already? You think so? Oh yeah, I'm sure of it. But you know, many times we make decisions, and what can really help us make really, really difficult decisions of life? Joshua Rick is how old now? 18. I'm gonna guess within the next 4 to 5 years, Joshua Rick is gonna be talking about a really big decision in his life. How many of you think you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. Does Joshua know what just happened over there? Somebody made a comment over there. What happened? His funeral. Way to go, Wesley. His funeral. He's gonna be talking about the decision of his funeral. No, the fact of the matter. Well, it depends on how you take marriage, then I guess, because we all knew I was talking about marriage, right? The fact is that that's a big. Hey, how many of you are married, and you would agree that's a big decision in life? Oh yeah, really big decision in life, isn't it? And you know, praise the Lord, God didn't just leave us out here in the world going, I'm not even sure how to make a good decision about marriage. I just kind of take whatever comes down the line.
Don't do it, they make you go forward
in church. Yeah, for anniversary. Roger's counsel is like the Apostle Paul, for this present distress, don't do it. Amen. But the fact of the matter, he just had to do that a week or so ago. He's so bitter, you can tell. You need to work on that, Roger. You need to work on that. But the fact is that it's a big decision in life, isn't it? And yet God's given us principles to help guide us. That's important. God doesn't just leave us I don't know what to do. No, He gives us counsel in the Word of God. The Word of God is such a great benefit to our lives if we'll use it the way God intended. If we'll take it up, we'll read it, we'll learn from it, we'll love what it says, and we'll live what it says, it's such a great tool. And that's why the psalmist says what he says here in Psalm 119, verse 164. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word here this morning. And the title for the message does indeed come from this verse. The psalmist proclaims, seven times a day do I praise Thee. Why? Now, it'd be good to praise the Lord seven times a day for any number of things, but particularly the psalmist here says, seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. And here, judgments, he's not talking about God's punishments. He's talking about God's principles and God's instructions and God's counsels in the Word of God. Amen? He's praising the Lord for the Bible and for all that it teaches and all the wisdom that it gives. That's why he's praising the Lord. The title for this series of messages, I Praise Thee Because of Thy Righteous Judgments. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll continue with the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would bless as we continue on now to the final part of this message as we focus in on that last reason, the second of the two major reasons why the psalmist was praising You for Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to glean, to grow, to be benefited, to go forth in obedience to the instructions and the principles that we learn from the Word of God today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As we've noted, the four verses where the psalmist communicates praise to the Lord concerning the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse number 7, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Verse 164, the one that we just read, seven times a day, do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. In verse 171, the psalmist said, my lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. And finally, verse 175, let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee, and let Thy judgments help me. Now, from these four verses, we've taken up three main points. We've considered the first one and the second one in the first week, in the first part of this message, the character of our praise. The psalmist praises the Lord in these four verses, all in relation to the Word of God. And he sets an example for us that we should do the same. But the very first thing that we learn, not only that the psalmist did, but that we by example should follow, is the character of our praise. In verse 7, the psalmist said, I will praise Thee, and here's now the character of that praise, with uprightness of heart. He wasn't talking about the instrument of praise, as in, you know, with a trumpet, or with a piano, or with a song, a voice, or anything like that. He was talking about the character of his praise. With an upright heart, with uprightness of heart, he praised the Lord. And we learned in that lesson, in that message a couple of weeks back, that the fact is God doesn't accept the praise of our lips if our heart's not right with Him. Amen? He even rebuked the children of Israel, you honor me with your lips, you bless me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And so I don't accept that. Your heart needs to be right with God. We also learn from this verse how the psalmist got his heart right with God. He said, as the verse continues, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. So there's the process. Get into the Word of God and learn it. Then go forth and live it. And as you do that, you will have an upright character. And from that upright character, you can praise God and He will accept it and approve of that praise. That moves us to the second truth we learned that first week, the continuance of our praise. The continuance. In Psalm 19, verse 164, again, the verse with which we began, the psalmist said, seven times a day. Does that sound like something he continued to do? If it was seven times a day, every single day, I would dare say people around the psalmist starting to get used to the fact that he was going to praise God for the Word of God. I'm so thankful, dear brother, dear mother, dear father, dear son, dear daughter, dear neighbor. I'm just so thankful God's given me the Word of God because it so helped me today. It gave me comfort. It so helped me today. It gave me counsel to make a pretty significant decision in my life. I'm so great. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. The commandments of the Word of God are so beneficial to my life. Over and over and over again. 7 times a day. Every day. Day after day after day. 7 days a week. 4+ weeks a month, 12 months a year, the psalmist just continued to praise God for the counsels and the commandments and the comforts of the Word of God in his life. Amen. We ought to do the same. Should we be praising the Lord continually? Absolutely. And should we praise the Lord continually for the Word of God? Absolutely. But then we came to the third one. We began last week, and this is the one I mentioned. Not only was it a point, but it had subpoints, and then under the second subpoint was subpoint, 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 you know. So we looked at the beginnings of this last week, and we looked at the first subpoint, the cause for our praise. Now, if I were to ask you, why should we praise God? We could spend the next half hour going over a long list of ideas of reasons to praise God, couldn't we? Amen. The psalmist is focusing on really one kind of category of praise, and that is praise in relation to the Word of God. But in so doing, he divides it into two parts. The first one we looked at last week, and that was that he praised the Lord for the righteous character of God's Word. Now that's really what it is. He's saying, I want to praise the Lord not only for the Word of God, but because I know that everything in the Word of God is right and true and good and pure and holy. Amen? So he's praising the Lord for the character of the Word of God. The second reason in which the psalmist praises the Lord, and the one we're going to focus on for the remainder of our message here this morning, is that he not only praises the Lord for the Word of God in its character, that it is righteous judgments, but that he also praises the Lord for its benefits. That is, that God has now taught him the Word of God. Not just that it is righteous, but that it now has been taught to me so that I can live according to that righteousness. If the Word of God is righteous, is that a good thing? Yes, the Word of God is righteous and it is a good thing. But is it a good thing for you that it is righteous if you never learn anything from it? No. I mean, it's still good. We still can praise the Lord that His Word is righteous. But that's just the Word by itself, standing over there in its character by itself. It is good in character, it's righteous in character, it's true in character, and then worthy of praise because of that, but it really doesn't do a whole lot to benefit me. When I learn those righteous judgments and begin to live them, now it's not just what its character is, but what its quality is in my life. And so he praises the Lord for both these parts. In verse 164, we see the focus on the character of the Word of God. When again he says, 7 times a day do I praise thee. Why? Because of thy righteous judgments. I'm just praising you because I've learned that your judgments are righteous. That the Word of God is righteous and true and holy and so forth. That, by the way, last week when I presented the message, I had that mix up with my notes. And I told you there were a few verses in the earlier portion of Psalm 119 that I didn't have in front of me because of the mix up in notes. Let me give you those. There's just 3 of them to add. Verse number 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Verse 39. He says, turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And then verse 62, the psalmist there says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. So those added with the verses we looked at last week, we see the psalmist over and over again recognizing that God's Word is righteous, that it is true, that it is good, that it is pure, that it is holy. And in that, making a commitment to spend time in the Word of God. Here he says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks because of thy righteous judgments. It seems pretty obvious that the psalmist here, this young man of God, spent enough time in the Word of God that his meditations were on it fairly regular. And as his meditations were on it, he would meditate and he would go, wow, Lord, what a wonderful truth. Thank you for that. He'd even get up in the middle of the night. Apparently, even he meditated on it so much that in the middle of the night in his dreams, the Word of God would come through, and he'd wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Thank you for that." Many of us have nightmares because we meditate too much on those horror shows, right? Well, he didn't do that. He meditated on the Word of God, and he found it to be a great benefit, even in the middle of the night. Or maybe he woke up in the middle of the night just because, you know, I don't know, something woke him up. His dog came in the room and flapped her ears really, really, really loud and woke him up. And as he took the dog out to do what she needs to do, he, because he went to bed meditating on the Word of God, he thought of that verse or two, and he said, "Thank you, Lord, for that, even in the midst of the night, that this great truth can be a benefit to me." I'm not saying that he actually did that last night. But in any case, you know, whatever the case is, the psalmist was spending time in the Word, and it was very close to the front of his mind. Amen? Are there things you have in your memory that you know are back there somewhere, but sometimes when you go looking for them, you don't seem to be able to find them because they seem to be buried back deep? But you know, there's some things that you can just quote off really fast. You know, this family over here, Evans family, right? I get that right? Is that the last name? Yeah. The Evans family, yesterday I was over there to see about the boys playing some football with us, and even Dad said, "I'll play." I went, "Yeah." In any case, they were talking about, it was early in the afternoon, I said, well, they were going to touch base with some other teenagers they knew and see if they could, you know, tie them up and bring them to the game and that kind of thing. And I said, well, give me a call so I have an idea of what's going on. And they couldn't remember the telephone number. And you know, I didn't have a hard time figuring out my telephone number. I didn't. It just 810-378-5323. I probably could say that in my sleep. Now, my cell phone number is altogether different. I never call my cell phone. You know? Somebody else's cell phone. Although on the cell phone now, you don't even call a cell phone. You hit memory, whatever. You know, that's right there, you know. But something that you use, now this is the point I'm trying to make, something that you use regularly, all the time. You use it regularly, all the time. I use my bank account number. I can quote it off to you. I am not going to do that because this is on a recording that is going to go online. Lord willing. And that would be really bad because I can just see somebody now. Hey, wait. Rewind. Did you get that down? Oh, you missed last minute. Rewind. Okay, we got his bank number. Yippee. Now, that's probably not a smart thing for me to do. But I can just quote it off like that. It's not hard. Why? Because I use it regularly. Money goes in and then comes right back out. You know? Something you use regularly, you don't forget. It's right there at the front of your mind. Well, that's the same with the Word of God. When we're meditating on it regularly, it's right at the front. But when we haven't spent time in the Word of God for a while, it's harder to bring some of those things forward, isn't it? You know, it's obvious the way the psalmist is responding to God that he spends a great deal of time in the Word of God. And so, regularly it comes forward in the different scenarios of life, and because of that, he's quick to say, "Thank you for that. Thank you for that comfort. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for that instruction. Thank you for that direction in life. Thank you for that wisdom. Thank you for that warning, Lord. Hey, I was going to go there, and my buddies did go there, but, you know, the warning of your word caused me to hold back, and they're in a big mess now, and I got to avoid it because I didn't go there. Why didn't I go? Well, because God warned me not to. Praise the Lord. Thank you for keeping me from that mess." Amen? That's what the Word of God does for us. Well, the second thing as we've moved along then is that he praised the Lord not only because of its righteous character, but also because he had been taught the Word of God for the benefit of his own life. In verse 171, the psalmist brings this out. He says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." Now it's not just because they are righteous, but because I have learned them. Because God has taken them up and taught them to me so that I know now how to do them. Math is good. I like math. But in general, math is good. You know, all of the many technologies that we have today wouldn't exist without math. You know that all of the architecture, the buildings built and all of those things, the great feats of bridges that are built, like across from the lower peninsula to the upper peninsula without math would not have happened. Math is good. But some of us here this morning might say, well, math may be good, but I don't know it very well. And I don't use it very well, so it's not very beneficial to me. That may be true. Math is good all in and of itself, but if you haven't learned it well, you can't use it very well. The psalmist is saying not just that it's good to have the Word of God, but that it's good to have learned the Word of God so that I can use it in my life. Amen? And so he says that again in verse 175. Verse 175, he says, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me." It's not just that they are righteous, but that in learning them, they are a help to me. And I want to praise the Lord for that. I want to praise the Lord for their character, but I also want to praise the Lord for their benefit in my life. How I've learned them and they help me. In fact, throughout the psalm, the psalmist here has made reference to a number of different ways in which the Word of God has helped him. There are I found a total of 5 of them. Others might read through the psalm. They might find a different breakdown of that. But let me go through those and then we'll be ending with the message. The first one, the righteous wisdom of God's Word provided the psalmist guidance in the right way. The first way in which he learned them and they were a benefit to him, they helped him, was that they were a guidance to him in the right way. Turn back, if you would, now to Psalm 19, verse number 9. Psalm 19, verse number 9, the psalmist proclaimed, "Wherewithal shall a young man," I believe he was referring to himself, he's saying, "How can I, as a young man, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Notice what he's saying. He's saying, if I'm going to find the right way, if I'm going to have guidance in the right way, if I'm going to have my way cleansed, that is, cleansed from the wrong things that are in it, and taught to go the right way instead, the way to do that is through learning the Word of God. By taking heed thereto, by governing my way according to thy word. He says it again, or teaches again, this idea that the Word of God was a guidance to him in the right way. He mentions that in verses 98 through 100. Turn there now, if you would. Psalm 19, verses 98 through 100. The psalmist says, "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies." That's always good. If you're wiser than your enemies, you have an advantage over them. That's a good thing. "Thou, through thy commandments," how did he become wiser than his enemies? Through the commandments of God's Word. "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding, not only than my enemies, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation." You know, basically what he's saying is, I have a lot of teachers, but some of them are secular teachers. And these secular teachers, they don't really know the Word of God. And they've taught me some things. They've taught me some good math. They've taught me some good history. They've taught me some information that was valuable for me. But the fact is I've been able over time to advance even beyond these secular teachers because I've spent time with the greatest teacher in His Word. And again, it's the Word of God that gives me that wisdom and that understanding. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. But don't finish there. Go to 100. "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." Now, the term ancients back then obviously did mean older individuals, but it wasn't just because they're old. The ancients was a reference to the individuals due to their age and experience who had developed the greatest depth of wisdom and skill in certain things. Today we would call them the experts. They write books about how much they know. And not only did it help them, but they write the books so that they claim it can help you too. Have you ever gone to a book? How many of you even know what, young people, do you even know what a bookstore is? Good, good, that's good. How many of you know what a library is? Let me just change that. How many of you young people know what a book is? I'm just wondering, okay? Oh, I got you on that one, okay? Didn't know what a library was, didn't know books, but at least you knew what a book was. Amen. I mean, with real pages and cover and, oh, phew. Whoo! Because nowadays I'm starting to get worried that they don't know what a bookstore or library or book is because it's all, that's right. Yep, there you go, Joshua. He doesn't even know what a Bible is anymore because he just, you know, right there it is. Boop, 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 you know, on that little screen on that, it's got buttons on it, you know, 1, 2, 3, and they also have letters in there and all that. What is that thing? Oh, that's the smartphone. That's right, yeah. Or maybe it's a iPad or an E-pad or a J-pad or whatever, you know. Whatever the newest names are, you can tell I have one of those, can't you? By the way, I'm not against all technology. I have a computer. Amen? I have, what was that? Yeah, well, it's still Windows 8.1. I'm still nervous about 10, you know, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, what Windows? We asked a little side joke here for a moment. My wife asked about moving to Windows 10, and somebody said, Windows 10? I have 8 Windows in my house, and I can't figure out where I'd put 2 more Windows. Figures. That was Aunt Beth, by the way. Yeah, sounds just like her, doesn't it? But coming back from that, I'm not against all technology. Technology can be a great benefit. But coming back to this book idea, you know. You go to the bookstore. If you've ever gone to a bookstore and you look, they kind of divide their book sections. If you've ever been there, I've been there many times. They divide their book sections into sections. And you know, one of the sections they have is called self-help. My thought has always been, if it's self-help, what do I need to buy a book for? I thought I was helping myself. But that's not what they mean. Self-help means you buy a book that some expert on some subject wrote about that subject and how successful he or she was on that subject. You read his or her book and voila, you can help yourself do what he or she did. Personally, I believe that in most of the categories of self-help, they could just kind of wipe all that off the shelf and put one book there called God's Word. Well, a second book could be a few shelves down. That might be helpful, right? But I'm not going to say what that is. My wife just said it. But the fact is that, you know, self-help. Now, I know what they're trying to do, and I'm not against that. I mean, because there's believers that write books on things like marriage and so forth, and in a sense, those would be classed as self-help books. So I'm not contrary to all of that, but what I'm trying to say is the psalmist is saying, look, through the Word of God, I've advanced beyond the self-help experts. I've advanced beyond the psychologist experts. I've advanced beyond all of that because God knows better than all of them, and I've just gone right to the source and learned from Him. So I learned better than my enemies, then I went a few steps further and I learned more than my teachers, and then finally I've learned more than the experts. Why? Because God is greater than all, and His Word is better than all. And it's best to just learn that wisdom from Him. Now, no, you can't go to the Word of God and learn how to be a great plumber because that wasn't really what God was dealing with. But you can go to the Word of God and learn how to be a great father or a great husband. Amen? A great mother, a great wife. You can go to the Word of God and learn how to be a great child in the home. The Word of God teaches us these things. Electrician? Well, it doesn't say a whole lot about that. So you might have to pick up some other books on that one. But it can teach you how to be a great worker on the job. Just to have a good work ethic. The Bible has a lot to say about these things. And we can learn so much, so very much about these matters from the Word of God. So the psalmist is saying, hey, the Word of God has helped me because it's given me guidance to understand the right way to live in life. In Psalm 19, verse 105, the psalmist said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path to guide me in the right way. Psalm 19, 130, the psalmist proclaimed, The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now I'm going to make a few comments on this one. We'll move to the next point here. But, you know, when he says it giveth understanding to the simple, that assumes that if it's going to be helpful to us, we have to recognize something about ourselves. Patrick, I'm going to use you. This will fit really well too. Come on up here. Wesley, you come up here too. This will work. This will work for both of you. Amen. Yeah, Patrick on this side. Wesley on this side. Now, how many of you have met Wesley? You kind of know his character a little bit. Wesley does not believe himself to be simple. Wesley believes himself to know stuff. To be really, really, really smart. Patrick, on the other hand, you know, Patrick's not dumb or anything, but Patrick, you know, Patrick's like, well, you know what? I've kind of grown out of that. I'm a college student now. I got past my first year of college and I've started to realize how little I know. So Patrick is just beginning to understand, like Joshua, like Alyssa, just beginning to understand. They didn't think this going into college. They thought college was going to be a breeze. These teachers don't even really have anything to teach me because I already know it. I'm an adult now. You know how that is. You know, they shift into adulthood and they think they got it all covered. And my viewpoint is, look, yeah, you're an adult now, but please remember, you just started. Usually, when you just start something, you're an amateur at it. Usually. You know, so Joshua, not trying to be mean to you or anything, really not. But if you view yourself as having entered adulthood, you're still an amateur adult, though. Amateur adult. Remember that. So there's some people around here, and probably at college too, that have been an adult for a long, long, long time. And I'm not talking about me. Yeah, I know. I see what you were thinking. I can see what you were thinking. They've been around for a long, long time. They've been an adult for a long time. And they might even be able to teach the amateur adult a few things. Amen? But you know, a lot of times when they come into adulthood, they don't believe that. They believe, because I've spent 18 years as a child, I know how to be an adult now. By the way, Abigail, because I saw the way you looked at your brother with that big smile on your face, you're not even a beginning adult yet. Just to help you out, okay? Because I know she'd look at her brother like, he got you. Well, you know, I just figured I'd get her too. But the fact is, all right, this is my illustration. Wesley's over here, and Wesley, I'm the man. I'm smart. I know it. Patrick over here, Patrick's going, well, I thought I knew it, but as I get older, I'm starting to realize, man, there's a lot of stuff I just don't know. So here's the thing. What did the Bible say in that verse? It gives understanding to the simple. Now, here's what I want you to see. Is Wesley going to learn much from the Word of God? Now, before we go further, is Wesley simple?
Yes.
Is Patrick simple?
Yes.
They're both simple. But Wesley doesn't believe that he is simple. Is he going to learn much from the Word of God? No. It's not just a matter of being simple, but it's a matter of recognizing it. If you don't recognize it, if you think you already know, why would you bother going somewhere to learn what you think you already know? Right? Why bother? Why waste my time learning something I already know? He's not going to do that. But Patrick over here, he's come to a point where he realizes there's a lot I don't know. What's he going to do? Well, he could say, I don't know and I don't care. Or, knucklehead. Sorry, Wesley stood up here and said, he could come talk to me. Because Wesley thinks he knows, you know? But here's the thing. With Patrick, he's come to the point where he realizes, I don't know. So he's going to go looking for a source that he believes does know and start to learn. So when it says gives understanding, thank you, you can have a seat, gives understanding to the simple, part of what's required here is our recognition that we're part of that category. Amen? I am part of the simple. And I need to learn. That's why I go to the Word of God. If I think I already know, why bother? There's a second way in which the psalmist mentions that he has benefited, helped by the Word of God and learning it. Second, the righteous wisdom of God's Word provided the psalmist protection from the wrong way. Well, that's kind of normal to think. If it gives them guidance in the right way, what else will it do? It'll keep them from the wrong way, protection from the wrong way. In Psalm 19, verse 11, just two verses after verse 9, where he said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Two verses later, he says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The hiding of the Word of God in my heart, meditating on the Word of God, learning the Word of God, learning to live the Word of God, learning to let the Word of God govern my life has kept me from a lot of sin. That's what the psalmist is saying. You know, you learn the Word of God and you learn to love the Word of God and you learn to live the Word of God, it'll keep you from a lot of sin too. Amen? There's a lot of wrong ways out there in the world. Some that are older in the congregation who have developed some wisdom will tell you part of that wisdom was learned in the school of hard knocks because they did choose the wrong way a few times. And they'll tell you what a mess. Praise the Lord for His grace to bring them out. Amen? For whenever that happens, praise the Lord. Whether it be a youngster saying it or an older individual saying it, praise the Lord for His grace to bring us out. But you know, if we just followed, and they have just followed the Word of God from the beginning, they could have avoided that mess to begin with. Let's just learn now. Whatever stage of life we are now, let's not go into a wrong way hereafter. Maybe we need to come out of a wrong way. Maybe we've been in one in the past and have come out. But you know, as long as there's another day and more decisions, it's always possible to go in a wrong way. But we can avoid that, and the Word of God will teach us how to avoid the wrong way. Not only what is the right way to walk therein, but what is the wrong way and stay away. Verse 130, the psalmist proclaimed, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." Now I want you to see this truth. In giving understanding to the simple will likely make what choice, right or wrong? The wrong one. But God's Word gives understanding to the simple so they don't make the wrong one. They start learning how to make the right one. Amen. And Psalm 19, 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Why did he come to hate the false way? How did he even come to know they were the false way? Well, he said, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." That's how I came to understand they were the false way and how bad the false way really is, so that I not only knew it was the false way, but I came to hate that way. And if you hate it, you avoid it. Number three, the righteous wisdom of God's Word provided the psalmist hope for the future way. Not only guidance for the right way, not only protection from the wrong way, but hope for the future way. Have you ever looked at the now and said, "Boy, is this a mess. I'm in a lot of trouble." And I don't even mean trouble because I've done something wrong. I'm just saying that life is just a terrible mess right now. Is there any hope? I look back to yesterday and it was a mess. And the day before and it was a mess. And the day before that and last week and the last month. It just seems like everything is not only bad, but it just keeps getting worse. Is there any light? Is there any hope in the future? Well, I'll tell you this. God's Word, if you'll spend time in it and spend time with it and learning it, it will give you hope for the future way. Amen? Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 49. He says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which," that is, upon the Word of God, "upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." What's giving him hope for the future? The Word of God. Verse 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Verses 147 and 148, "I prevented the dawning of the morning." That is, I stayed up all night, even into the dawning of the morning. Or it could mean he got up real early before the dawn of the morning. Tim does that every morning. By nature. Not because he has to for his job. Patrick does that for his job because he has to. Tim does it because he's weird. Just the way he is, you know? But preventing the dawning of the morning means getting up even before the sun comes up. You know? That's what happens. And he said, I prevented the dawning of the morning. Why? He says, and cried, I hoped in thy word. He cried because of the difficulties of life, but he cried in the midst of his crying, he still had hope. And where did the hope come from? The word of God. He got up before the sun. And he got down before God in prayer and he began to cry out to God, I need help here and I need help here and I need help here and I need help here. But then he opened the Word of God and he began to meditate on the Word of God and God said, I'll give you hope because I'm there and I'll help you. Amen? He cried out to God in prayer, but he found hope from the Word. As he spoke to God, he cried out his need. As God spoke to him, he found hope in his need. The Word of God provided that. Guidance for the right way. Protection from the wrong way. Hope for the future way. But what else? In the fourth place, the righteous wisdom of God's Word provided the psalmist comfort in the afflicted way. In verse number 50, the psalmist proclaimed, this is my comfort in my affliction. This is my comfort in my affliction. What is? For thy Word hath quickened me. What gave him comfort? What got him back on his feet so that he could get back out there? In the midst of affliction and sorrow and pain and stress and pressure, what gave it to him? The truths of God's Word. In verse 52, the psalmist proclaimed, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The idea of the house of a pilgrimage is where you're not at home. You're traveling far away from home. And based upon the verses that came just before it, this is verse 54. He just said in verse 50, affliction. In verse 52, affliction. So the house of his pilgrimage, verse 54, just two verses later, is what kind of a pilgrimage away from home? It's a pilgrimage, not a vacation time in paradise. It's a pilgrimage in a troubled world where there's a lot of troubled circumstances. And he says, but even in the midst of the trouble of this world and these circumstances, I can sing. And you know where I found my song? From the Word of God. I found comfort. I found comfort that led me all the way to the ability to sing in the midst of the trouble. Can you think of a couple of individuals who in the midst of pretty significant trouble just broke out into song? Nathan, who was that? You know? Two guys, man, they came in preaching the gospel. You need to be saved. And the leadership of that city, they weren't happy. And they took them and they beat them really good. Like you guys did to me yesterday in football. No. They whipped them really good and then they put them in jail. Remember who those two guys were? Paul and Silas. No, you'd have got that one wrong. Paul and Silas. You remember those two, Paul and Silas down there? In the middle of the night, they've been beaten, they're bleeding, all of that. I'm sure that they didn't just then put ointment on it to fix them. No, they just threw them down there in the deepest cell. They're all tied up, you know. And what do? Well, I know what I would have done. Probably grumbled and complained myself to sleep. But that's not what they did. They broke out into singing the praises of God. I hear that sometimes and just go, wow. But you know, the same Holy Spirit and the same Word of God can help us do the same thing. We think, man, they must have been really super Christians. No, they were just Christians living the way God wanted them to live. And we could and should live that way too. And the psalmist says, hey, I'm in the midst of pretty significant affliction, but I still have a song. And you know where I found it? I found it from the Word of God. Finally, in verse 143, the psalmist proclaimed, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. He felt almost like he was in chains. On the one side, he was chained up by trouble. And on the other side, he was chained up by anguish. They've literally taken hold of me like two strong men. Yet, even with trouble on one side and anguish on the other, yet thy commandments are my delights. So how has it helped him? The Word of God. Guidance for the right way. Protection from the wrong way. hope for the future way, comfort in the afflicted way, and finally, just a couple of verses, a couple of passages, the righteous wisdom of God's Word provided the psalmist strength for the daily way. In verse 50, the psalmist proclaimed, we've already read it, but let's read it again. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The idea of quickened is made alive. The affliction was doing what? Pressing him down and down and down and down until he was ready to just kind of quit. But the word of God raised him back up and got him going again. The word of God gave him hope, gave him comfort, and gave him strength to get up and get back at serving the Lord. The afflictions don't really motivate us to go. Afflictions motivate us to fall apart and quit. But God's Word lit the fire again, quickened him, brought him back to fullness of life and to back at it. It was like the afflictions made him faint, but the Word of God woke him up and said, get back to it. Amen? Gave him strength for the daily way. And you know, daily we encounter pressures of life. Daily we encounter afflictions. Daily we encounter the things that would press us down and would seek to break us. But every day, and that's why it's so important to be in the Word of God every day, not only for instruction for every day, but for comfort and help and hope and joy and song and strength to get at it today too. One last passage, two verses together. The psalmist declared in verse 92 and 93, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. It would have broken me, and I would have quit. It would have been done. Unless thy law had been my delights, I will never forget thy precepts. For with them, thou hast quickened me. Have you ever come to a point in your life, like the psalmist, that everything was so bad, you said, I'm this close to being broken. I'm this close to just, I can't go another step forward. I just, I don't have any strength. I don't have any hope. I don't have any joy. I'm pretty much just done. I'm done. Oh, I might live it out, but I'm done serving the Lord. I'm done. I'm just done trying anymore. But then God brings back His Word, or you spend some time in the Word, and the Word of God stirs your heart again. And you say, you know what? I can't quit. There's strength here in the Word for me to get up and get back to it. Amen? That's how the Word of God helped him. Guidance for the right way. Protection from the wrong way. Hope for the future way. What was the fourth one I gave? Comfort in the afflicted way and strength for the daily way. Let's get in the Word of God, amen? But it was for all of that that he was praising God. Now, it's obvious that he found those things from the Word, or else he wouldn't have been praising the Lord for them. So on the one side, if we're going to follow this example, it's not just a matter of let's praise Him for it. No, it's a matter of let's get in the Word so we can acquire this help, so that in turn we can then say thank you and praise Him for the help we found. Get in the Word, get the help, praise the Lord for it. Amen? That's where we need to be. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for these instructions and this example of the Word of God and the truths that they can present to us. But now, Lord, it's our responsibility. The psalmist, his life is over, been over for a long, long time. But throughout his life, these are the benefits that he found from Your Word. And he certainly praised You for it. But he found these benefits because he spent much time in Your Word. Now it's our responsibility to follow His godly example. Lord, teach us to spend much time in Your Word, and then in so doing, find great help from Your Word, and then in so doing, to express wondrous praise unto You because of that help from Your Word. Oh Lord, I pray, stir in our hearts through this message. In Jesus' name, amen.